Weekly, we focus on the work of area organizations and individuals advancing inclusion and equity in our community. This morning, we welcome those on the ground. The ground editor with Rapids Growth Media will get to your introduction. Stand by, joining in to do just that, WGVU grant writer Steve Chappell. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley. Good morning to our listeners, and good morning to our special guest, Michelle Jokishpolo.
Hi.
I let you pronounce your last name. That's it, Jokishpolo.
There you go.
We've been with you before. Thank you for being here. Yes, Steve.
Shelley, we are, WGVU is a partner with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation and several other organizations under Kellogg's racial equity umbrella. And we have been working for 2 years thus far on a project that we've branded called Mutually Inclusive. And the goal of that project, both on air and partnering much more strategically now with our community partners, is to give a voice to those that typically do not have a voice, to talk about issues that impact their lives and, quite frankly, oftentimes create inequities, and also to put a spotlight on stories like policing, stories like gentrification, stories that impact many of our residents, and we hope to generate more and more conversations. So we're pleased to have Michelle Jokishpolo from Rapid Growth with us to talk about her great work in the community.
Great. Michelle, thank you very much. Again, Rapid Growth Media, I think you're an E-line, I know you're an E-line publication. Thursdays, your stories come out?
Yeah, our stories come out every Thursday through a newsletter at 9 a.m. You can find them at Rapid Growth Media or through a newsletter.
For that, and here you are, the on-the-ground editor. What's your beat?
My beat? So right now I am embedded in the Granville Avenue community, which is on the southwest side of Grand Rapids, and between Clyde Park and Wealthy Street, Cottage Grove area, the railroad tracks. And I'm there talking to people, getting to know them, trying to see what's going on there. So our latest story was about Dominga Lucas Perez, who is, she's a resident of Granville Avenue, and she's indigenous. She's from Guatemala. And her story is that Spanish isn't her primary language. Mom, an indigenous dialect, is. And so we oftentimes assume that people who are Latinx speak Spanish as their primary language, but she doesn't. And, you know, it plays on to the erasure of indigenous communities that has happened, you know, both in the United States and in Latin America. And so for her, coming here meant greater access to educational opportunities that she wasn't afforded in Latin America because of the very fact of, like, colonization and erasure of access because of being indigenous.
Well, Michelle, Rapid Growth focuses on issues of economic vitality, economic growth through many lenses. Okay. And your stories are wonderful, in-depth, giving people a voice, people that live in the neighborhoods that you visit. Voices on the margins. If I were to throw out that phrase, what does that mean? How do you approach that? And what's the outcome?
So when I think of voices on the margins, I think of people who don't who are not often invited to the table or haven't had a platform to share their story. So they have a story. They just, they may not know how to tell them in the way that we tell our stories. So it really involves a lot of, like, asking questions. Who hasn't, you know, asking, oh, do you know this person? What do they do? And kind of getting to know those people that you are not seeing highlighted in our typical media. Voices on the margin, I generally think of people of color, women, trans women, black women, people who experience the greatest violence in our community.
What was this feature of the On the Ground, which is obviously the name of the heart of Granville Avenue? Do more summarizing here.
Yeah, so the heart of Granville Avenue was our first feature of Granville, our first beginning of the series, and it's about the history of Granville. We really try to talk about the history and try to tie it back to somebody who's still on the avenue, who works there, who grew up there, who's, you know, their house used to be really near Cesar Chavez Elementary, but no longer is. Samaris is her name.
Yes.
And, you know, she's still on Granville. She works at Cesar Chavez at KSSN. And, you know, try to give a perspective of people who are there and how immigration has tied that community.
She, and you're right, living on Granville Avenue granted her a sense of safety. She didn't feel like, she did not always feel growing up in the city of Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So her family moved to Grand Rapids to try to get away from the busyness and some of the gang-related activity that was going on in Chicago. And when they arrived to Granville, they found a sense of home there. They could walk everywhere. It was accessible. They saw people that looked like them. And it was this sense of belonging that she didn't have before.
Well, and Michelle, what I find wonderful about reading the work of Rapid Growth and your series that I've read recently is the authentic voice that your stories lend itself to. And, you know, I've learned so much about, you know, the people that live in the neighborhoods, what their story is, what their journey is, the history. And I think we have so much to gain. What are some of the objectives of Rapid Growth, and you in particular as a journalist, in telling these stories? What do we as a greater population have to gain about our fellow residents in Granville Avenue area?
So when I think of, for example, of Dominga, and I think of her story, and I think of the persistence that she's had throughout her life living in that, and everything that she's experienced, I think of, okay, this story brings, our piece brings her story to light and also creates a way for her to feel empowered in who she is.
Do you ask consistent questions?
Of all my people?
Yeah,
but I generally let the people I interview guide me, because I think when we come into the interview openly, you can discover things that you weren't expecting to. You know, and in the case of Dominga, one thing that I wasn't expecting to discover was that mom doesn't employ he or she pronouns, so they're outside the binary. And our understanding has been, well, Spanish or English is a quote-unquote higher language, higher developed, evolved language. But is that really true? And I really wanted my readers to get at that. Like, they don't employ he or she language. So that kind of starting to make more sense with how we're moving in terms of dismantling the gender binary. And that's something that I didn't expect to learn about. It was really beautiful, and hopefully she feels empowered and others who hear her story get connected to her and grant her opportunities to get more involved.
I'm sure as we try to hear WGVU on the morning show, you provide a safe and trusting atmosphere to ask your questions and to get your answers.
Yeah, I mean, it really, I go into my interviews is very much like open-ended, right? They are the experts in the field and in their life. They're the experts in their community, and I'm just here to listen. And so that involves, time isn't a constraint, because we could spend 2 to 3 hours talking about something, and I think that helps us create relationships, specifically when we're talking about embedded journalism. And with Dominga, for example, you know, her Spanish is not her primary language. So it was a lot of, like, trying to figure out what words does she understand that we can, you know, meet at. And that took time.
Yeah. This is great. I have two questions. Could you talk a little bit about embedded journalism, what you feel that is, so our listeners can gain a greater appreciation of your approach, what it is? And then also, do you ever hear from the individuals that you're interviewing, do you ever hear that they welcome this discussion because it clears up misperceptions or creates greater knowledge?
Yeah, so what I see embedded journalism as, specifically on Granville Avenue, really is about being in the community, getting to know the neighborhood, being there consistently. I have found that one-on-one works best because people learn to trust you better. Having meetings can be helpful, but if you don't know people, who's going to come to your meeting? So it's easier if you, introduce yourself one-on-one, maybe at an open space like the library, which is a space that's everyone's going through in Granville. So that's kind of how I see embedded journalism, being there mm-hmm. consistently and being open to whatever mm-hmm. you encounter on a day-to-day or a weekly basis.
Well, I think like public media, WGBU, we have a mission to serve every resident that calls Grand Rapids in this area home. Mm-hmm. And we, having a non-commercial focus, we get out into the community. Mm-hmm. And so we just welcome this partnership and also that we can learn from one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when I do my stories, I always think this isn't just about the people, it's also for the people. So that's why all our stories are also written in Spanish, because it's important that the people there are able to read them. And of course, not everyone there is unable to read English, but we also want to get at, you know, a lot of people aren't. So you want to make sure that we're not just telling a story about them, but it's also for them. And when I, you know, when I hear back from people who I've interviewed, a lot of the times they're grateful, because like Dominga, for example, she hasn't, nobody, it seemed like that there hadn't been very many opportunities for somebody to, instead of seeing her as someone who needs help, but someone who helps, who does, who actively has persisted to help others in her community thrive. And nobody, it seemed like she hadn't had that opportunity to tell that story.
Doing good work. How will we ask for one to share their stories with you? I mean, that's sometimes, you know, getting the knock at the door saying, I want to share my story is often the best interview.
Yeah, so if people want to share my stories, they can email me at michellejokish, J-O-K-I-S-C-H, @gmail.com. Or we have a community newsroom every Thursdays at Programa Puente from 4 to 5. Programa Puente is located on Granville Avenue.
Tell me more about that. Is that where we gather?
Yes, so we gather for an hour, and it ends up working well because that's right when school's out. Families are walking down, and they can come and hang out with me and pitch me their stories. And that has been another way where we can become embedded.
I have a question. In the case of Dominga, and you said your stories in general, they are not just about, but they're for the people, and mm-hmm. hopefully they will serve to empower them. I know it's a general question, but what will they empower them to be, to do?
Yeah, so the way I hear that is it will empower her to know that she belongs there and that she owns her community. She has ownership over that community, right? So when you have ownership of your community, it's much harder for someone to tell you to leave that community. And you don't want to displace the people who are there.
Now, you go into your interviews kind of in an open way, listening, uncovering items or information that you may not anticipate. But do you also look for, do you look to explore certain topics like health issues in addition to financial issues or education?
Yeah, so I always try to get first at the issue of race and class and how that affects the people in my community. And, not a lot of people understand what, like, race means for them or how they're how they're affected by it. But, for example, yesterday I interviewed someone who mentioned that they have the reason that when they bought their store, they couldn't get a loan from the bank. And they're a person of color, and we know what redlining has done in our community and the effects of that. So I ask more questions about that. I ask, like, oh, what did you do instead? So they borrow money from several family members, and, you know, $5,000 here, $7 here, $5 over here. And that's not something we tend to think about, or we have privilege to getting loans from the bank.
Right.
So, you know, trying to get at them to, like, find the answers on their own. Well, why is that? Did you know how to get it, how to increase your credit?
Just having an authentic, mm-hmm. open conversation.
Yeah. And people have the answers. They're the experts in their own life.
Yeah. All right. Time to say our goodbyes, but we continued the conversation one more time. Hal, Michelle?
With you?
Finding out more information about Rapid Growth Media?
Oh, hi. Find more information at rapidgrowthmedia.com. Or on Facebook. You can find our stories there at Rapid Growth's Facebook page.
And you talk to Tommy and you and more on a monthly basis. So we're looking at the first Thursday of every month, 10 o'clock. He's a wild and crazy publisher.
He's great.
Good man, yep. And a good friend. Thank you, Michelle, for what you do when it comes to on the ground and your editing.
Thanks,
Steve Chappell.
Yes, and if you've missed any part of this interview, please go to our website, wgbu.org, and go to the radio page and look up Mutually Inclusive. You can hear all of Michelle's interview a little later this afternoon, as well as many of the other topics that we've covered on air, both on television and radio, and learn some about the community events and organizations we hope to partner with on behalf of all residents that live in our community.
Great. We do focus on the work of area organizations and individuals advancing inclusion and equity in our community. Thanks to you, Steve Chappell, and again, Michelle. Take care.